Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
There were some White Sox roster moves, including Reynaldo Lopez being recalled to the big team. Jace Fry is sent down. Matt Foster is sent down. Jake Lamb is on a rehab assignment. And Aaron Bummer's back. We also talked to Jim Ross in the first hour of the show. It was really great. I highly recommend, if you missed it, to go check out the show podcast. Once the show is over, it'll be up and available for people. Layla Rahimi hung around with me for that and did the interview, and it was fantastic. We appreciate your support. You can check out the show. You can watch it on Twitch. I'm not wearing anything like fun today. I just have on a polo. So
Twitch.
I don't have my Spider 2Y banana shirt on like I did yesterday. But twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. You can also call and text. It's the same number. 312-644-6767. For this hour, we are talking about the Cubs, and we are talking about the Jock Peterson trade and how it's just kind of another marking point for what's going to happen next. And I want to talk with you, the Cub fan, about how you feel about this. I understand that you understand the business aspect of it. Although one guy texted here and was like, why would anyone trade for Chris Bryant if they know he's going to be a free agent? Like, because they want to win the World Series right now. And you bring in a player like Chris Bryant right now. It happens every year with players that are at the ends of their deals. I feel like, how do you not know that? But it's fine. Not everyone is at the same place. I get it. And hopefully the texter took it the way that I meant it, just kind of explaining the process of why someone would trade for Chris Bryant at the end of his deal, because that's usually how it goes. Like with Jock Peterson, who was on a one-year deal. The Cubs didn't want to pay Jock Peterson to be playing for a losing team, knowing that they're probably not going to bring him back next year. So you trade him for the future. Get it? Got it? Good. Let's go out to Barry, who's calling from Colorado Springs. Hey, Barry, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. Love your show, man.
Thank you. I love it too, man. What's your favorite part about it?
Well, I always love the Warriors inset to the second half of the show.
Okay.
I love that you treat it like a podcast more than a talk radio show. Actually, it's pretty call heavy the last couple of days, but I appreciate that too.
Thank you. I'm glad that you actually even noticed that. And I went a little call heavy just because I felt like doing some topics. I felt like doing some retro, like old school nighttime show stuff. So I wanted to play around with the art form a little bit.
And it is All-Star Week. So
correct.
Not as much to talk about. Well, hey, so I want to chime in as a Cubs fan about how I feel about things now, and also how I think I'm going to feel going forward as I watch the rebuild of this team. And, you know, in May and early June, as fun as that winning streak was, and they were on a roll, I was really afraid that they just keep doing just enough to, you know, stay competitive. even though I think all of us that have been tuning in the last 4 years, we know they don't have it. We know they can't compete with the Padres. We know they can't compete with LA. So, you know, I'll always be appreciative of these players, this core, always be fans of theirs. But, you know, what we've seen over the last couple of years, they don't have it. So I love them. I hope to see them do well. I'll follow them as they go elsewhere. But, you know, it's going to hurt watching guys go away that come to love the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years. That's going to hurt. But as far as the future goes, as a Cubs fan, I agree with some of your previous statements about lovable losers. That's not acceptable anymore. Teams won the World Series. They proved that they can do it. So I expect that this team is going to win, and I'm excited to watch guys come through the system like we did at the rebuild of this current core. And, you know, I won't be as apt to fall in love with the new core as I did with this past core because it hurts. And you got to understand that sometimes a good player has to be paid, has to be traded away to get prospects to keep this thing rolling. So hopefully as a new core comes in, we won't have to see continuous rebuild after rebuild. So
that would be the hope. I appreciate the phone call. And I appreciate you saying that it's going to hurt too. Like, one of the things that I've noticed over the last 2 years is that Cubs fans themselves have become a little bit cutthroat. Like, the pendulum swung like almost the other way. And maybe that's the way a fan should be because of the mercenary nature of the way that the game is played. But it's kind of felt like everyone wants to divorce themselves from the feelings that you've had about these guys, these teams, this franchise. And I'm trying to figure out why. Like, why is some of that stuff happening? I have a general idea, and I do think that it being more business-esque plays a role in that, and that it can be sometimes up to the fan to let go of some of that emotion, knowing that it's super cutthroat in the boardrooms to make the decisions on these things. 312-644-6767 is the number. This texter says, when I asked about, like, how do you feel? This texter says, betrayed. They sold Darvish and brought in Arrieta so that he would lose. Makes trade easier when the team is losing. A bunch of broken promises from the Ricketts. Ricketts's? The Darvish thing only makes sense if you were looking at it from the bottom line. And I think that reflexively, when the team, when we knew that we were going to see fans back in the stands and maybe some of the purse strings opened up, you saw, and the Cubs get out to a nice start in May, you're like, okay, well, maybe it might change his mind. You know, I had the theory, and it was backed up with something Tom Ricketts had said. My theory was, it's easy to look at baseball as a business in 2020. It's super easy because you're not interacting with anyone. It's like, oh, I own this team. We play in a ballpark, which is basically now a television studio because fans aren't there. I don't get the warm fuzzies that I would ordinarily get as an actual fan of the team who happens to own the team. And then I heard Tom talking on a broadcast, and it seemed like he was, what I was saying wasn't that crazy. And he talked about how it's different for him and how he didn't like coming to the ballpark when it was empty. And I'm sure that that clouds your judgment, like whatever emotional attachment that he might have to the team. That changes. But in 2021, when you open back up and you have opening day 2.0 and it's Cubs and Cardinals and the sun's shining and everything's great, does it feel a little different to own a team, knowing, being able to feel and touch the passion of the fan base? These are all things that I wonder about. Whether there is still room for the human element when it comes to running a baseball team. We could, even though I don't like the choice, if you look at what Jerry Reinsdorf did, that was a human moment. Like, that wasn't a, because the computers wouldn't have told you to hire Tony La Russa. I'm not even sure that that's what the baseball people wanted to do. The computers would have told you, or no, I shouldn't, that's pejorative. Conventional baseball wisdom would have told you to hire AJ Hinch. But the owner is like, no, we don't do this. So what do you want when it comes to your owner? Should they be super cutthroat? Like Tom Ricketts being like, hey, get this Darvish contract out of here. You don't care what we get back? Not really. Just get it off the books. Okay. Because if we ask them to pay all this money, we're not going to get good prospects back. It's like lottery tickets. Nah, it's okay. Do it. And then they start winning and you're like, you know what they need? They need Yu Darvish. Had this Cubs team had a Yu Darvish type guy, I don't see them losing 11 in a row. Because legit, he's a stopper. That's what a guy like that is supposed to do. To be fair, Kyle Hendricks is supposed to be that dude too. I know he doesn't do it with Velo, but he's still supposed to be one of those types of dudes. Peoria and Brad. Hey, Brad, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence.
Hey.
So what I want to say is I feel like the Cubs in 2016 were that girlfriend you fell in love with early on, and then as you got to know their issues, you got a little bit more aware of how you'd be disappointed in the future. With me, yeah, they were great. It was exciting. But we've seen the issue, and I don't think it has as much to do with the pitching staff and losing Darvish as the four core, as referred to them, not being the MVP caliber that they might have projected to be in the beginning. So any turnover now that gives us that caliber of player that could be an MVP in the future, that's exciting.
Okay, yeah, the unknown is kind of exciting. For the record, Chris Bryant won an MVP. And I'm pretty sure Anthony Rizzo was top 10. I know that Baez was second in MVP voting, right? And Anthony Rizzo, I think, has two top 10 finishes for MVP. I think that those guys, when you look back, like in the moment right now, this is one place where I do think the emotion of it clouds fans. 20 years from now, you're going to look back at Chris Bryant's years as a Cub and be like, what were we bitching about? You're going to see Rizzo with years where he's hitting 30 home runs and driving in 100 RBIs and being like, he wasn't that good? Huh? I do think that that's the one place where my interactions with Cubs fans on this radio station and on social media, it's almost like this anger that is misdirected. Like, you're mad that the team is losing or isn't as good as it probably could be. And you just funnel that anger onto the guys that have produced throughout their careers. They're flawed players, like all players. But it seems like, and that's why we joke about the Chris Bryant thing, about y'all not deserving Chris Bryant. Because it seems like, why would it elicit that type of reaction where people are like, get him out of town? Like, Chris Bryant? So I do think that that's the one place where the emotion has, you're not sure what to do with it. And you're like, him, that guy's to blame. The really handsome one who's great at baseball. I hate him for being handsome and good at baseball and a nice guy. That's one thing that I'm never going to fully understand. And maybe we'll see it someplace. If Chris goes someplace else, I don't know what more he could have done. I was talking with the Bigs about this. It's the Bigs, Eugene and Terrence, when we were out at the Summer of 54 event. Because Eugene is in that clubhouse way more than I am. And I said, I don't get that whole thing. I don't get that whole thing of people not liking Chris Bryant. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Because if you were drawing up a player, forget about the player. If you were drawing up a person that you wanted to represent your franchise, it'd be this dude. Think about all the things that go into it. Smart, articulate. Is that weird when the black guy says that about the white guy? Am I allowed to do that? Smart, articulate, good looking, married his high school sweetheart. All the things that we say we want, he embodies it.
Solid citizen.
In the community, out here trying to get people vaccinated, even his dumb teammates that don't want to get vaccinated. He embodies everything that you'd want. Oh, and he's really good at baseball. Do you think there's some haterade in there, though, Hervey? Is that some of it? Is it like, he's got the perfect life, I hate him?
If he was on my favorite team, I would not hate him at all.
I know you wouldn't. I'm asking, is some of this because he seemingly has it all?
It can't be. There's no way. There's zero way.
Sure there is. There are people that hate LeBron.
Yeah, but like, those are haters of the sport and usually Michael Jordan fans who hate LeBron.
No, Texter, you're right. Doesn't smoke nor drink either. He's out of a, like, American Gothic. You bring this guy in here, then it's unbelievable.
And he's not talking too much smack, but when you go a little far, Chris will give you some words.
Yeah, I like that about him. I really like that about him. But that's what I mean about smart and articulate. The Cubs, think about it this way. The Cubs' handling of his service time turned him into an advocate. Their manipulation of, I wonder what happens overall with Chris Bryant. If he's brought up when he was ready, does he become this guy? Does he become the guy that's standing in the front of the player's PA and go, yeah, things need to change? And everyone kind of knows it's stupid. The White Sox have done a really good job of getting ahead of that. We will buy out your years, man. We will take the risk.
And they didn't do it this year with Andrew Vaughn. They said, hey,
come on
ready?
Through.
Come on through. And it's a good sign to send to the rest of your minor leaguers. You earned it. You've earned it. We're going to call you up without the extension. And I think, as Barry put out, Barry Rosner, 7 is greater than 6. But the damage, and from this, I think they also put this damage on Chris Bryant to their fan base. And that's why they don't love him as much as they should.
I agree with that. I think it's a really good point by you, Herbie, that the baseball literati, everyone around the game understanding the business side of it, for some reason in what we do overall, I will tell you that so that you understand where I come from, I am pro player. Now, let me tell you why I am. This has a lot to do with me covering football and seeing what happens to the players after they play football. And honestly, it's not that far of a leap to wonder if that's what's happening in real time with Richard Sherman, for example. What happens to those guys when they are used up? Now, in baseball, it's different. Yes, those guys usually come out of the game in great shape overall. But the owners have such an advantage. And I'm talking about all of us. I'm saying fans, media, capital M, we often default to, oh, I get the business side of it. Yeah, I mean, seven's more than six, and I get why the Cubs are doing that. When in our real lives, as much as we can equate sports to real life, which is not always apples to apples, we're the player. But since we're fans of teams, we also feel like the owner because we wear White Sox on our back or on our heads, and we wear Cubs on our backs and on our heads. And so the chum is in the water when Chris Bryant kind of bucks back and he's like, this is stupid. And people are like, it's not stupid. They get to have you for 7 years and not six. Get it? Can't you do math? And Chris Bryant's like, you damn right I can do math. And watch me do math right out the door of this place. He becomes one of the biggest advocates in the MLBPA. Like, they turned him in. It's, oh my God, like, I can have so much fun with, like, writing this out. Bryant, this is his origin story. Like, the origin story is, here's this guy that romanticized about baseball. His dad had played. He's so excited to be a Cub. And then his service time got manipulated. Thus brought about the Bryant. It's like Batman. Did I take it too far? I feel like I didn't take it far enough. Hey, Joe, you're on the score. Joe, are you making a turn?
Hey, this is Joe.
Hang on a second, Joe. What's going on with Joe's voice?
We kind of had that the other day with Stoney.
Yeah. Let me try it again. Joe, you with me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Now I feel like he's doing a bit.
I don't think it's him.
I think it's the line?
I think it's our phone lines.
All right, well, let me try someone else. Hey, Tom, you're on the score.
Hey, hear me okay, guys?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah. Hey, Lawrence, great show as usual. You know, I think the Cub management, without saying it or hinting it, really sort of back in their mind, sort of wanted this to happen without saying it. But I think they got a little scary.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to cut you off. But the same thing that happened with Stoney's phone is happening now with the other callers. His voice wasn't messed up, though. It was that clicking thing that was going on with him. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. I'm going to turn the phones off, and then I'm going to turn them back on again. And we'll talk more with you about the Cubs. And now I kind of want to write the comic book of Chris Bryant being radicalized by seven is more than six. Would you buy that comic book?
That's his, like, crest. That's the middle of his chest.
Yeah. This is them not bringing him up is Bruce Wayne's parents getting killed at the theater. Spoiler alert.
Does he use both the seven greater sign and six or just the greater sign in the
yes,
middle?
Yes, that's it. It's just the greater than sign. Okay, all right, let's crowdsource this. Let's have some fun with this. If you're on Twitch, if you want to text in, how are we creating like the Chris Bryant greater than, I'd say he's a hero. I'm not saying he's a villain. How do we create that? What does the suit look like? Does he wear a cape? Does he have a helmet? I want to know everyone's thoughts on this as we build this character. The Cubs manipulate his service time. It turns him into the hero that he is today. What does his uniform look like? Does he have a shield? There's all sorts of stuff. I look forward to your thoughts. Twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And if you want to text us, 312-644-6767 is the number to do that. Back after this on the score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
I'm Batman.
The texters, I gotta tell you, the texters have really come through as we crowdsource and kind of do a get together and create this Chris Bryant superhero. And he's a hero. Like, he's not a villain. He's not even, like, an anti-hero. He's a hero, going with the origin story being the manipulation of his service time. Someone on Twitter said to me, his nemesis is the manipulator. That is gold. Mwah! That is gold. So here are some other things that people have now added to this. One texter said, if we're going to give Chris Bryant like the Batman origin story, does that make Joe Madden Alfred? Perfect. I said, let's put his uniform together. Like, let's see what his costume looks like. And someone was like, his costume is a White Sox jersey. Let's go! You damn right it is. For 2 months. That's fine. Hopefully 3 months. But people have actually come through. Someone says he's the white version of Blank Man. I love this one. One texter said, the superhero version of Chris Bryant is just Chris Bryant, but with a goatee. That usually denotes that he's the villain, though. It's the same thing. Was it Knight Rider where you had?
Garth?
Yes. Was it Kit and Carr? Is that what it was? No, Garth and Goliath. That's right. It was Garth and Goliath because it was a truck, I think. But I like that. It's like there's KB, but when he turns into Greater Than Man or whatever we're going to call him, that's what the goatee is, his way. It's his glasses. That's what it is. Instead of it being denoting him being evil, he's got to make sure that no one knows his identity. And as you know, in superhero movies and in comic books, if someone just puts on a pair of glasses, no one knows it's them. So with Bryant, we'll just, when he needs to be Greater Than Man, he has a goatee. And now I'm like thinking about how he's got to go like to a Bryant cave and put the beard on because there's no more phone booths anymore.
Let's go to the dugout.
That's good. That's really good, Herbie. You should write comic books.
I don't give a about that.
Texas, you're coming through. The manipulator has to be from St. Louis. Yes. The manipulator lives in the arch. And it works out on multiple levels because it's his arch nemesis. Folks, we are out here doing it on a Friday. We really, really are. This is what it should be. I love that you all indulge me with dumb stuff. Of course, there's a get back to sports. What sport do you want me to talk about? What happened last night? We get to have some fun with this while we're talking about serious Cubs stuff. Kit and Carr. I think I have that right. So Carr was the other car, but Goliath was the truck. And I feel like Garth drove Goliath. But it's been a long time since I've watched Knight Rider.
I don't recall actually watching Knight Rider.
Like, you don't remember when you sat and watched it?
Yeah, I think I was young and I knew of it and I knew its popularity, but I never was like, Knight Rider's on, let's watch it.
I like Knight Rider just because of the car inside the truck. Like, it was just so cool that, he's got to go on another mission. He's got to back out of this moving truck. They can't pull the truck over for 10 seconds to let him get out.
And Mr. Feeny was the voice of Kit, right?
That is correct. He was that voice. Should I try the phone lines again?
He wants to talk about Jason Hayward.
Oh, I don't want to do that. What, trying to trade him?
Yeah, or just he's the problem.
Okay, so, wow, that's inaccurate too. But I will, And Tanner, I'm not going to take your phone call, but I will talk about your point. And I'll tell you this anecdote from earlier today. Herbie and I are getting ready to do the show. I tell Herbie I want to do the Jock Peterson thing and talk about trades and stuff. And he's like, the Cubs should trade Jason Hayward. And I was like, who's going to trade for his contract at this point? He's like, isn't he done at the end of the year? No, 2 more years. They owe him, after this season, another $50 million.
I thought it was a 6-year deal.
8-year deal.
Oof. Friends.
So, like, let's say that you were a team that was looking for a little bit of leadership, defensive prowess.
And what about little Monica?
And you wanted to make the move. That contract is cost prohibitive. It's hard to... I mean, I guess you could be like, we just get him out of here. I don't know, but who's going to take that? Because Herbie was like, it'd be great if he could play right field at 35th and Shields. I'm like, White Sox ain't doing that. You out of your mind?
I was thinking about a platoon. Maybe the Cubs take up half of the money for this year. I thought this is on the premise that his contract was ending this year.
Okay.
Not that we're assuming 2 more years of bad Jason Hayward.
Okay, so okay. Let's see if it could be the money that they saved on Adam Eaton if they were to do what you were saying. If the Cubs ate half of the $12 million or a little under $12 million that he's owed, it would be about the rest of the Adam Eaton money, but come on, man. And then I showed him the contract. He's like, oh, Lord. Yeah.
Who the hell signed that one?
Theo.
Good for Jason Hayward. Congratulations, my man. Awesome.
Congratulations to him indeed.
Earned.
Absolutely.
Young player. Did well in Atlanta, did well in St. Louis.
As I said earlier,
well in Chicago.
I'm pro player. So if you got the finesse for an 8-year and they're going to owe you $50 million in the last 2 years of your deal,
it's a real tough go.
I say thumbs up. Let me go back here. Someone already did like clip art and put Chris Bryant in a Sox jersey. Send it to my Twitter. I'll retweet that. Just for poops and giggles, as Zach would say. Let's see. This texter says, the greater than symbol denotes a greater value Bryant has. The values you want. And the symbol itself is slanted V, Chris Bryant, the value.
Wow.
That is dope. It is happening here on this very show.
When these people... who are going to steal our idea, make this comic book.
Yeah, just I'm going to be real mad. No, you know, just invite me to, like, if Chris shows up, like, invite me to the thing. That's all I'm asking. Some people like being jerks. Chris Bryant's kryptonite is runners in the scoring position. Wow. Bad guys out there. Does he get calls from the commissioner? It's a great question. Probably not, but I think that he will be getting calls from the commissioner's office since that's where Theo is. All right, follow up. Carr was Kit's evil twin, not the Hoff's evil twin. But I'm not wrong about Garth and Goliath, right? Like it was a goatee and a truck. I feel very confident about this. Also, did you know? I'm pretty sure you can find it on YouTube, but did you know that they did a Nick Fury movie with David Hasselhoff where he was Nick Fury?
It's in Germany?
No, this was in America on Fox. Go look it up. I think Lisa Rinna played Maria Hill. I'm telling you, God bless them for getting the Marvel stuff right by 2008. Like, making the casting of Robert Downey Jr., who, by the way, I'm going to give you, like, the last segment today is going to be a reco, but let me give you an early reco. The interview that David Letterman did with Robert Downey Jr. on his Netflix special, if you're a Marvel fan, maybe you've already seen it, but even if you're not, it's completely worth your time. Terrific. Let me take a couple more of these text messages.
By the way, Lawrence, for the one texter who was complaining about Chris Bryant's runners in scoring position, he has a 916 OPS with runners in scoring position.
So I'm
not allowed to speak facts.
Studs, don't tell the truth about Chris Bryant.
Okay.
It's all the – just make sure you tell the jealousy part of it.
Okay, gotcha.
Because that's all – like, I think that's what it is. A lot of hateration going on with him. My man Marshall Harris from Channel 2. He's a new guy over there. Good dude. I met him a couple nights ago. He's with us on this. Like, it's just haterade. Just all of it. Be like, screw you and your beautiful family and your crystal blue eyes and you being good at baseball and being tall and stuff.
I was going to say, I am pretty envious of his eyes.
Like, I mean.
It's hard to not be.
I'm saying. Someone said that his utility belt only has Red Bull in it. I like that. Like, that's his thing. It's like Our Man, where Our Man only has power for an hour. That's like his thing. And, oh, man, we could tie this in so good. Check it. When Chris drinks the Red Bull, he can fly. Come on! Come on! Let's go!
Breaking Chicago baseball news. The Cubs trade Chris Bryant to the Chicago White Sox. Keep it here.
We have that one loaded, do we?
Yes.
That did not happen. I need to be very clear about that. Mitch just ran into the control room. So you've already got that one ready to go? Okay. It's fine. Totally fine. You're going to scare people.
We got more, too.
Oh, run them. What we got?
I don't know. He's going to just send them in.
We'll just
play them next break.
Is he literally just making them up, like, right now in his office?
Breaking Cubs news. The Cubs trade Chris Bryant. Keep it here for all the details on who the Cubs got in return.
This show is so stupid. I love it. I have a great recommendation for you coming up next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
This weekend, while you're waiting for games to be played, if you have Hulu, I highly recommend Summer of Soul. Questlove put it together. It is an amazing film. Basically, what happened is that there's this summer festival in New York where they had all of these incredible music acts like Mahalia Jackson and David Ruffin and Stevie Wonder and Mavis Staples and The Fifth Dimension and all this stuff. Sly and the Family Stone. And the footage was not unearthed until 2 years ago when someone got it to Questlove. It is both history lesson and concert film with incredible audio, like full songs, full performances, Gladys Knight and the Pips. Like, I was so like crazy about it last night. I texted my parents, was like, you all have to watch this. And they did, and they enjoyed it. If you love music to any degree, whether we're talking Motown, gospel, R&B, you owe it to yourself to see this thing. It also gives you a really good understanding of like what life back then was like. I just loved it so much that I can't recommend it highly enough. Shout out to my man, Rick Camp. Campy is a musician, so he was telling me about like how great it was. I sat down and watched it last night, and you're not going to believe how good it is. Summer of Soul. It's on the Hulu platform. Use the free trial to watch it. Just watch it and tell everyone you know about it. It's that good. I'll talk with Parkinson Spiegel next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.